This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, Stugatz, I can't believe I'm saying this as we start the national show, but I was in a conversation yesterday with Mike Ryan about top 10 quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, where was I?
Yes, it was a conversation because we were talking about how well Tannehill's playing.
Yep, top 10.
Well, Tannehill could have been had by anybody. Thank you, Stugatz. But it used to be that that was a rhetorical trick that you would play with top 10. Rex Grossman was once in our top 10 because there were only 8 good ones. Like, that's the way that that one ended up working.
I think Dan Orlovsky is onto this. I heard him this morning on with Zubin, Keyshawn, and Jay Williams, and I think he had Tannehill 6th or 7th. Like, he's actually assigning a definitive number.
Well, but here's the thing that's making it harder. The top end of this is playing football so well, Stugatz. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers before yesterday, that's the worst game I've ever seen him play. When that guy throws a pick six, tell me it's not startling to you.
It is.
It's the weirdest thing you can see is in that sport is him throwing a pick six. But Lamar Jackson, you keep going to Dak Prescott, who is now hurt. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes plays tonight. But where do you put Tannehill? He brings them back. There were a lot of interesting things in that Texans-Titans game. The Texans had a decision to make late in the game, and they went for two to try and make it a two-score game. And if they'd made it a two-score game, they would have immediately ended the game.
Yes.
But two coaches, Riverboat Ron and Romeo Crennel, yesterday made the decision that is largely a statistical wash, okay? You're not going to get criticized under any circumstances mathematically. You're only going to get criticized if what ends up happening is what happens. I always want to play one play for the game. I'm on offense. I don't want to be on defense on that play. One play for the game. I'm on offense. Let me have the ball, and I'm going to go for two the way Washington did.
I think unless your offense is Washington's, then maybe you think twice about it.
Fair enough. And we could question the decisions as much as you want. But mathematically, these are decisions that are simply, you know, you could go either way and be fine. There's nothing egregious here. I would like, if I'm the Texans and I've just scored a touchdown, I would like to finish the game with one play. And if they come back and tie the game and then beat me in overtime, because Derrick Henry is great and he's the fastest big person I've ever seen. Like, those linebackers,
crazy.
Those linebackers for Houston dressed up in costumes for games, and he clowned all of them. Last year, they dressed up for costumes. He ran through their secondary, and someone that big should not be able to run away from an entire defense. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
You shouldn't be able to throw Josh Norman around the way you did the week before and then be able to run that fast. Like, it seems.
Running away from linebackers and defensive backs. Yes.
People are still talking about the decision Romeo Crennel did. I thought, wasn't his decision justified immediately? What he was afraid of was what happened. His defense not being able to stop Tennessee. Oh, but you have to force them to make a two-point conversion. With that in the backfield, they're going to get the two-point conversion just as easy as they get a point after touchdown. So why don't I just go ahead and try to end the game now?
Mike, what's funny about what you're saying there is when you say with that in the backfield and with that offense, I no longer know which one of the two you're talking about. Because Tannehill has become that kind of a not reckless, efficient, giant arm, accurate quarterback that can move around. All the things that you want in the prototype, he has been now for two seasons. And so, Stugatz, he is, while we will all think of him because of what his resume is, as second tier, the numbers do not suggest second tier with him.
No.
The numbers suggest he belongs in that sphere with the guys who are the very best. That's how he's playing, at least in part, because he has that in his backfield. I think that he is aided tremendously by their ability to play action. But Mina, who studies this stuff more than me, says that's largely an illusion, or it was largely an illusion with them last year, that it's not actually accurate.
And it might be a Titans thing just because they don't have household names outside of the running back, but Tannehill's doing this with inconsistent appearances from his skill positions on the outside. Davis battling COVID, A.J. Brown not available, Humphreys has been dinged up, his weapons have been injured and not readily available, and it hasn't mattered. Short rest doesn't matter. Tennessee Titans, keep on mowing.
He has has that running back. He has a very good offensive line. Tannehill is third in the NFL right now in rating. And over the last 17 games, he didn't start all of them last year because Mariota was the starter for the first bunch. 17 games, 35 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions.
So this is what I want to ask you, okay? Because I believe that the quarterback position has gotten so precise, Stugatz. What you see Ben Roethlisberger doing, he releases the ball faster than any quarterback in the league. The way they're using him is very smart. Do it as a caretaker, veteran savvy. Don't let him do any of that dumb bleep that he does where he wants to flip it up at the goal line because he's Big Ben and he's been reckless all his life in every way. Have him go the way he's gone in his spiritual life. Just shut it down conservatively. Make it all about, we're going to be careful now, we're going to be adult, we're not going to be as reckless as we were when we had all the swaggering gunslinger talent in the world. And Ben Roethlisberger right now is playing with the kind of efficiency that puts him in the class of the top 10. The top 10 is stronger than it's ever been at the quarterback position. The top 10 is crazy. When I'm telling you, it wasn't that long ago that we were putting Rex Grossman in the top 10. If you get one of the 10 best quarterbacks in this sport right now, you're getting a player who's a total difference maker.
And it's easy to be conservative when you have arguably the best defense in the league. And there aren't many good defenses out there. If you hold a team to 24, like, that's a good defense now. But that zone defense that's always blitzing from the Steelers is incredible. It'll be interesting to see, though, with that injury to Bush, if they're going to be the same one. Because now you're going to force Big Ben, if your defense isn't putting up those efforts, now Big Ben has to throw a little bit more, and that could be dangerous.
Stugatz, here it is. I'm going to lob them up to you one at a time. The conversation you've been wanting to have all our lives. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm just going to go one by one. Some of these are going to be obvious, but it's going to get hard.
Okay.
Who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Ryan Tannehill? Just for this season.
Mahomes.
Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill.
Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill.
Russell Wilson.
Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill.
Deshaun Watson.
Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, a healthy Dak Prescott.
Ryan Tannehill.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
well, that game's ended a lot sooner than I thought.
It ended earlier than I thought.
I take Dak Prescott.
But I'm missing Lamar Jackson or Ryan Tannehill.
Lamar.
Kyler Murray or Ryan Tannehill?
Wow.
We're getting to the tipping point, I guess.
Probably Tannehill.
Though for you, it was Dak Prescott.
Josh Allen or Ryan Tannehill?
Wow. Not probably. Tannehill.
So now Josh Allen's going to end up falling out of your top 10. Josh Allen's going to end up, if I keep going down this route, you're going to have Josh Allen's not going to be allowed in here.
I liked it better when I could throw 25 quarterbacks into my top 10.
Well, you can. You always do. That is your move. But I don't know. We could sit there and split hairs on Ryan Tannehill versus Dak Prescott. My larger sort of astoundment is anyone could have had that. That went to go play backup to Marcus Mariota. Yeah. Like, that could have been anyone in the sports. There are plenty of teams in the sport that need a quarterback, but you either have the veteran guy who is precise, who you've got to stick with and ride it out, whether it's Brady or Drew Brees, or you've got the young person like Kyler Murray that you're investing future in, or, you know, you might be doing it with Daniel Jones or Haskins or whoever. And Tannehill was in that nebulous area of, do we want this to actually be good, given that we're only going to get 5 years of it instead of 15 years of it? Like, right. Is that something? But it's obvious. The skill level's obvious to everyone, is it not? Like, that team is now good, indisputably. I don't know whether it's best in the AFC, but indisputably, that team is good.
That team is good, and he's turned into a very, very good quarterback.
But how? How? We were watching this for how long? Like, how the bleep did that happen? We were watching it for 10 years.
I guess he just got away from Adam Gase.
But before that, he was. And Cam Cameron? And what? And, like, how many different quarterbacks, how many different coaches did he end up having, Ryan Tannehill, from the start? I don't even know whether it was. Was it two? Was it three?
They brought in Mike Sherman to be his OC.
That was his college coach, right?
Yeah. To be his OC. But Cam Cameron was quite a few years before.
Again, I asked the question of the audience, how is that available to the entirety of the league? And now all of a sudden we're having a conversation that legitimately could put him in the top five of quarterbacks playing right now.
I remember you saying, though, even before he left here, that you didn't think he was a bad quarterback. You thought that Tannehill could be a decent quarterback.
He left here, and we still had no idea if he was good or not.
I thought with no conviction that he was an above-average quarterback, but the league told you, Stugat. The league told you what they thought of him. He could not get a starting job. He went to Tennessee. Adam Gase took this job in Miami because Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback.
Right.
He didn't take San Francisco or some of the other jobs offered to him because he thought he could build around Ryan Tannehill.
By the way, had you gotten to Brady, I would have responded with Brady. Don't say it, Dan. Don't think about it.
I want to talk about
it. I care about you.
Aaron Rodgers. I want to talk about the Aaron Rodgers celebration. It looks foolhardy now in retrospect when you only score 10 points and you lose by four touchdowns. But who was it? Crinkle McCrinkle? What is that? He was doing Key and Peele. I don't know what the name
McCringleberry?
It's a fine.
Wow.
you put yourself on the island.
Kinkle McKinkle?
Don't do that.
Don Libertard.
I was listening to you during the break. Did you guys hear any of that during the break? Stugatz is sitting here saying, hey, man, I see Cowherd getting all this advertising on Fox. When are they going to advertise us on Monday Night Football?
I think that'd be fair. I do.
Stugatz.
I don't have too much to ask. I mean,
it is a lot to ask. I mean, ESPN Radio in the ESPN empire is a fly around an elephant's tail.
It is?
In the ESPN empire?
Yeah. I thought we meant more.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz on the ticket.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans, by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All guests on the Don Levitar Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
So you think it's a spoof, but it is not. First Take, the graphic right now is, should the Browns give up on Baker Mayfield? This is a rinse-repeat situation whenever it is that the Browns lose. We are still in this hyperventilating, ridiculous place where we need, after the games happen, to fire people and bench people and change people and get rid of people. And so the Browns now find themselves in a place where they were a surprising or exciting 4-1, and now they are 4-2, and they have lost, obviously, to two of the best teams in football.
Yep.
And Baker Mayfield, whatever he is right now, is not Lamar Jackson and is not Ben Roethlisberger. So Baker Mayfield is still something of a question mark, and I want to get to some stats here because Mike Ryan's Cleveland Browns are hurting today, and I don't know how physically hurt Baker Mayfield was because of this stupid rule we have in that sport where you interview the quarterback after the game and you ask him, hey, your injury, what's up with that? And he's like, no issue, because doesn't want to be the guy who sounds like he's making excuses.
Right.
So basically, any one of us in our jobs, if we couldn't do our jobs very well in a way that made us mocked and shamed by the universe, we would probably pipe up with something in our defense. Like, here's why. Here's one of the reasons why I wasn't good today. Now, that doesn't explain the stupidity of throwing the ball right to Minkah Fitzpatrick, but there is the ability to look at these quarterbacks sometimes and wonder, well, how healthy is he actually?
Right. I think the problem for Browns fans, A, you still don't know if you have a quarterback. You think you might, but you don't know definitively. And in those two games you talked about, Dan, those games were not even close. I mean, the Steelers and Ravens blew them
out. Here are the stats. This is from Kayleen Jones from The Ringer. Since 2015, the Browns are 4-17-1 combined against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The Browns have lost the matchups to both this year by a combined score of 76-13. Mayfield has yet to throw for more than 250 yards in a single game this year, and a 6.4 yards per attempt was tied for 26th among qualified passers entering the game. This is from ESPN Stats and Info. Today marks Baker Mayfield's 11th career game with multiple interceptions. Only Jameis and Phillip Rivers have more such games since Mayfield entered the league in 2018. Winston with 13, Rivers with 12, Baker Mayfield with 11. At a time, Stugatz, where this is paramount. Do not turn over the football. We are getting so perfected at the quarterback position, the people we're talking about, that multiple turnover games. You saw that stat I gave you earlier. Denver won in New England yesterday. It's the first team to do that with multiple interceptions since 2001. When your quarterback goes in there and throws interceptions, their quarterback was never throwing interceptions, so you were losing. And last night, or yesterday, Denver wins that game. And here from the Athletics, Dugatz. Cleveland was 1-12 on third downs, 0-3 on short fourth down tries. Mayfield was sacked four times to go with those two interceptions. In four wins against Cincinnati, Washington, Dallas, and Indianapolis, Cleveland averaged 201 rushing yards, and Baker Mayfield had a quarterback rating of 96.7. In losses to the Ravens and Steelers, the Browns averaged 107 rushing yards, and Mayfield's quarterback rating was 59.7. From the second half against the Colts to the first half in Pittsburgh, Mayfield had a stretch of four interceptions within 19 passes. Now, this one's an important stat too, Stugatz. Mayfield was pressured 52% of his dropbacks, highest mark of his career.
Right, people don't factor that in. It's just stuff that people do not factor into the equation.
Well, I think though more and more they are factoring him in. I feel like the sports fan right now has the ability to be smarter by leaps and bounds than he or she has ever been.
But do we want to be?
No, they're dumber than ever. They're dumber than ever because now the Browns are a joke, sitting at 4-2. And we're leading First Take with, should you bench Baker Mayfield? They're 4-2. You know what that means? They're on pace for their best season since re-entering the NFL. But if you check social media, they're a bad team. They're a joke. You can't even call them good. What's good about losing to Pittsburgh in the fashion that you did? I mean, look, I don't think
You beat Baltimore that way last year,
yeah,
did you not?
They've lost to two very good teams on the road. They've gotten shellacked, but Baker Mayfield's thrown four interceptions in his last 19 passes. Since halftime of that Colts game where he took that shot, he hasn't been the same. Now, there are some bad decisions inside of 20 yards that you can't just point to the ribs. He's always going to do that. But he's a lesser quarterback. Without Nick Chubb there, Pittsburgh sending the house almost every play. Without his best offensive lineman, Pittsburgh sending the house on every play. I mean, there's a reason why he got pulled. He wasn't effective, absolutely, but they pulled him to protect him.
Do you know why the house is sent? Do you know the origins of sending a house? Is it everything and the kitchen sink?
They
is that
the
what
house.
It is?
They brought the house.
But why are you bringing the house? Is it because you've got the kitchen sink and everything else? It's not and the kitchen sink. It's the kitchen sink and the whole damn house. The whole damn, because Denver at the end of the game against Cam Newton, they brought the house. The house was brought. But it was the Broncos, so it's not much of a house.
Right.
It's a shack. They brought the shack more than the house. They bought the tent more than the house.
Now, Von Miller's there. It's a house.
That's correct. Right. At least it's got a bathroom and a kitchen sink.
I think the difference is it's everything but the kitchen sink, but when the kitchen sink is included, it's the house.
Is that right? So, okay, so put it on the poll then, Guillermo. What is more menacing? Bringing the house or bringing everything but the kitchen sink?
Now, there's bringing the house in a football blitz, and then there's like bringing the house down at like a party or like a comedian brings the house down. Like, is that the same house?
No, it's not the same house. Totally different houses.
Why would you leave the kitchen sink, just out of curiosity?
Those are not the same neighborhoods because it's hard to move the kitchen sink, I think. I think structurally, not knowing very much about plumbing, I think you're probably everything but the toilets and the kitchen sink, I'm thinking.
But how do you bring down the house the way that Queen Latifah did?
Totally different bringing down of the house.
Yeah.
How do you bring down the house? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are these bringing the houses in any way the same? Queen Latifah bringing the house down or just bringing the house on a blitz?
Don Levitard.
I'll whoop your butt with a poop sandwich.
Stugatz.
I love that.
But it's gibberish.
Yeah, I love gibberish.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection.
Push through it.
The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Today on ESPN Daily, thanks for the motivational talk there, Dan. NFL Week 6, help bad news for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, and worse news for the Jets. Break down the latest on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
So Christine Lisi's got her Bills playing tonight against the Chiefs. My guess is she's already filled with terror.
I mean, a big one. The Dolphins right on their heels. I mean, whew.
Put it on the poll. The Dolphins far and away with the best point differential in their division, even though it's a, you know, it's a small sample. But I'm sorry, Christine Lisi, we interrupted you.
And finally, NASA and Nokia are putting a 4G network on the moon. How about that?
How about that?
Of course. We're going to need that at some point to live on the moon at some point.
Where and play football.
No coronavirus. Yes, of course.
Football on the moon.
Under all circumstances, yes, we need to play football. I suspect the game will slow down some, I would imagine. But regardless, we will still watch it. And I'm guessing that faulty equipment and collisions and stuff might be problematic, whereas you just got somebody spinning off into orbit. But whatever, we'll do it because we want our football, right? Like, but,
I'll watch it in any form, Dan.
Christine, are you scared? I can't imagine there's a worse feeling in the sport than facing the Kansas City Chiefs.
I woke up nervous at 4, so yes. Okay. I got problems.
Okay, so you woke up nervous at 4 because you... And what's your level of trust in Josh Allen this evening?
I have a lot of trust in Josh. I do.
Just more
Patrick Mahomes makes me nervous. Keep that guy on the sidelines as long as possible.
Yes,
run the football. Coach McDermott.
That is a good plan, Christine. I think he will listen to you on that front. Stugatz, I want to talk to you about the celebration Aaron Rodgers had yesterday that Troy Aikman thought was a diehard commercial, because Bruce Willis, our friends at Advance Auto Parts, have done a fun and funny advertising campaign using Bruce Willis. Die Hard movies with their Die Hard battery. And so they're bringing back the Die Hard battery. And for some reason, when Aaron Rodgers was in the end zone doing a tribute to Key and Peele, Troy Aikman said, I don't know what that is. I mean, it was a very sensual moment. I will explain it to you in a second if you have not seen it. It's as good as the Packers felt yesterday. It was 10-0. They were feeling themselves. Aaron Rodgers had just been hit as he was headed into the end zone, and a ref just immediately threw a flag because that's the reflex now in the NFL. If a quarterback gets hit hard, throw a flag, even though it seemed like everything was fine. Like, he just got hit because, you know why? He was trying to score head first, and that's like the goal line is a dangerous place. But refs now just automatically throw flags anytime someone's hit hard who plays the quarterback position. We should just let State Farm throw the flags, honestly. Just allow a State Farm representative, a sponsored flag thrower, just whenever a quarterback is hit too hard.
I felt so old. I think it was Antoine Winfield Jr. that laid that hit on Aaron Rodgers.
No way.
Wait
Antoine
a minute.
Winfield.
Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute. You felt old in that same game. This is from Albert Breer. You felt old. Tom Brady is shaking hands, okay, after the game with John Runyon. John Runyon Jr.
What?
He played at Michigan with John Runyon. He's walking out across the field to shake the hand of the guys he played with in college. They're sons.
It's never going to end. I mean.
And so anyway, Tom Brady ends up winning by 4 touchdowns in that game. And the celebration I wanted to tell you about, because Keegan-Michael Key told us the story. Now, you can make the argument that this is one of the best comedy duos we've seen. There aren't that many to choose from, but Key and Peele did it very well for a long time and then graduated to other things even better than what they were doing as a comedy duo that really ended up helping establish the entirety of the channel around them, right? Like, they helped build everything that was around them because people were hunting them down as streaming services changed and everything else. People were trying to find, let me see this comedy skit team at a time we're not doing a whole lot of comedy skit teams. So there is one day that Keegan-Michael Key met Aaron Rodgers and met Olivia Munn when they were together. And here is the story that he tells before I get to the celebration that Aaron Rodgers had yesterday, back when it felt good at 10-0.
I was leaving my office one day at Sunset Gower Studios, and I went over to visit a friend of mine who was shooting on the TV show The Newsroom with Jeff Daniels. And I'm looking down the way, and I see the beautiful Olivia Munn. She sees me and I see her, and she beelines for me.
Yes.
And she comes up, she goes, hi, I'm Liv, and I'm a big fan of your work. And I said, and I'm Keegan, I'm a big fan of your work and your face and everything else. Everything else that's standing right here, I'm a big fan of. And then there's this big kind of hulky, kind of hunky guy standing next to her. I'm not paying attention. She goes, oh, I'd like you to meet my boyfriend, Aaron.
No.
All of a sudden, I couldn't care less who Olivia Munn was. I just like look at the guy and I go, I don't even say hello. I just go, NFC North. And then I fall down.
So how do you imagine he felt? How do you imagine when I tell you that one of the skits that they did right on the line, a little bit dangerous as some of the stuff that they did was, where they were celebrating the over-celebrating of football players. And unfortunately for Keegan-Michael Key, he doesn't have the body to pull this off as funny as, you know, do you think that he's got the same body? Was he the one who ended up doing the actual, the celebration of Kinkle McKinkle, as I call him?
Hingle McKringleberry. I think it was him in the, that's one of the things that you just remember, like the pump rule, the three pump rule.
But I thought the reason I thought it was Peel is because it was physically funnier to have Peel do it, where a referee is getting real close to his loins, waiting to see anything in the way of a celebration. All he's got is his arms over his head like Aaron Rodgers. And there's this long pause, and the camera was on him after he scored at the goal line. Long pause. The announcers don't know what he's doing. He's just standing there with his arms over his head, and then he just gently pelvic thrusts in a way that the referee was waiting for in the Key and Peele skit, but made Troy Aikman very confused and think it somehow had to do with Die Hard batteries.
Poor Troy.
It is among the most sensual things we've ever seen on a football field, second only to Jared Allen getting a $15,000 fine for slapping his thigh during a sack celebration like a weightlifter, and the NFL hitting him with a sexually charged fine of, you know, whatever it was, $10,000 or $15,000.
It was all downhill after that, though, for Aaron.
It really was, but that we had that one moment.
I went to my garage to get a shovel to just start throwing dirt on Tom Brady's legacy when he was presumably down 10-0.
It was 10-0, and then
a pick six, and then you realize, oh.
And then another interception right after that.
Yeah, that was almost another pick six, by the way.
That's a good defense they got over there in Tampa.
Well, let me ask you this question, because this happens to me a lot for a player who is this kind of great. I very often get a couple of games into the season, and I'm like, oh, bleep, Ndamukong Suh is there. What is that? What do they have in the middle of their defense coming after you? Like, that's happened to me like three or four times in the last 5 years where I'm like, oh, and they've got Ndamukong Suh as well.
Yeah, I think the surprise is that Suh is still there because he was there last year. He was like in that Honey Badger, Jadeveon Clowney, just mercenary. You're going to pay me $14 million for one season, and then I'll go find someone else to pay me $14 million for another season.
Mike, they have a good defense. They also have an offense that scored more points than any offense in the NFC.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Brady. It's unbelievable.
It is a little odd. This is, by the way, going in.
He didn't know what down it was a week ago.
Yeah, that's how much it changes. But well, how about this? You say it changes on one end. He was senile, and we were wondering if it was senility. Not Walsh. Senile. Doesn't know what down it is. Kevin Clark on the Packers from The Ringer. The Green Bay Packers have, at present, this is going into the game, the best offense in history. No team is a particularly close second. They're 3.67 points scored per drive through their first four games, not only leads football, but leads every offense that has ever played football. The 2007 Patriots, long considered the gold standard for innovative, supercharged offenses. That's Moss, right? That's Moss. It's
yes.
Got to be Moss.
Yep.
Average about half a point less per drive. The 2020 Packers lead the NFL this season in points and yard per play, all until yesterday when Tom Brady was resurrected like the Undertaker.
Don Libertard. Let's go meet. Let's go meet Stugatz.
I'm going to check out probably at 6:30 today. I'm just telling you in advance.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to head to a little island I like to call the island of not interested.
This is the Don Libertard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Levitard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Ian M. Cohen says, everything but the kitchen sink sounds reactionary and desperate. When you bring the house, you're coming from someone's head. How about that?
I think there are a lot better ways to describe all of this, and we'll get into it in a second.
All right.
Because I want to talk a little bit about what happened in that inches separating the Texans and the Titans, undefeated from 1-5. The Dolphins are rooting for Houston to lose all their games so that those draft picks that they got for Laremy Tunsil will be better. And did you see what Warren Sharp showed us on Twitter, Stugatz, in terms of what Mike Vrabel did at the end of that game? Because I thought the maneuvering was fascinating. I did think that the Texans could just squeeze the rest of the game out of the clock and everything else. But Vrabel did one of those Belichick moves where, was he acting? Was when he sends 12 men onto the field to get the penalty to stop the clock because he knew that the Texans were going to score anyway and he just wanted the ball back, was he acting like he was mad that they got 12 men on the field?
Yeah. Yeah, Warren Sharp, and Vrabel does this all the time, Belichick. Remember there was in the playoff game between the Patriots and the Titans, Belichick got a taste of his own medicine because Mike Vrabel exploited one of these rules. You would often see late in games Bill Belichick take a delay of game while his team was lining up for a punt, and all of a sudden you're milking an additional time. So they're trying to close some of these unfair rules up because of Vrabel.
Spirit of the rule stuff. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that stuff. That's just basically climbing through a loophole because the rules do not expressly forbid it.
Which is why if you're Vrabel, you have to sell the fact that you're upset about it. You just have to sell it. You have to sell it all the way through.
Right. They've closed some of these
loopholes. He sent a 12th man out there himself, and that 12th man didn't even... He's like, what are you doing, coach?
Yeah, on purpose. On a 2nd-and-1. So you got to think that Houston's going to convert that. So it's a perfect situation to just give them the first down. Texans are like, okay, we're going to extend the game. And Vrabel sells it by acting mad. But he ends up saving his team 40 seconds in taking this penalty on purpose, very clearly, despite his acting job. And saving 40 seconds, it's meaningful when you consider they tied that game with 4 seconds left.
They did. And they just so brilliantly handled so efficiently the last drive of the game where it's Tannehill coming down the field and they're not calling timeouts. They are just lining back up and throwing a fade to Brown in the corner and tying the game with whatever it was, 7 seconds left or 4 seconds left. But as much as I want to talk about the specifics of that game, I have to talk about why it is that Roy just drove to Chris Cody's house and started fighting him in the driveway, because these guys have been arguing about which is the greatest of the blitzes, which is the greatest of the phrases. Is it pinning your ears back? Is it the stampede blitz? Is it the jailbreak blitz? Is it bringing the house? Which of these is, I mean, are we going to do better than jailbreak? I want you to imagine how harrowing it would be to be dropping back with a football, and then all of a sudden the cages to a prison open up and everyone is running in every direction. Is there going to be something worse than the jailbreak blitz?
Perhaps Derrick Henry just running straight at you?
I mean, there's a suicide blitz. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
The pinning the ears back pales compared to the suicide blitz, right?
Why are we pinning ears back? Is it so the wind doesn't slow us down?
Like, yes, that's exactly. Yes.
Aerodynamic?
Is it horse racing? Is that a horse racing term that has to do with making a horse more aerodynamic?
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're a human, how big are your ears if you have to pin them back? Yes, big ears.
Well, I don't think that is human. I don't think that that's what we're dealing with there. I don't believe that Khalil Mack gets a little faster to the quarterback because he surgically has his ears pinned to the back of his head. Although that would explain some things.
But if he could, he would.
Yeah, he certainly would. But there can't be anything worse than a jailhouse break, can there?
An underrated blitz that doesn't sound as vicious, but it can be deadly, is when you shoot the A-gap.
Oh, shooting the A-gap. I love the idea of the quarterback dropping back. There's no D-line, just a prison.
and it opens up, right, with the desperation that you would find in the escape from a prison. That is correct. I can't think of a lot of scenarios that would involve dropping back to pass that would be worse than that.
And the first person they see is Ryan Tannehill.
It's Ndamukong Suh breaking out of a jail. Stugatz's weekend observations next.